The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Monica Carrasco's dreams were bigger than most. She was always a bright child, and as a young teen, she decided that she wanted to attend Harvard University and study law or science. She wanted to work for NASA. Being involved in her church was also very important to Monica. She attended Bible studies regularly, and she even volunteered to read Bible passages in front of her whole congregation. Something most children would be too shy to do. Monica started doing this at age 6. In November of 2000, Monica's life would take a tragic turn. Her father had a heart attack and passed away, and Monica, at just 13 years old, witnessed the whole thing. Monica dealt with it the best that she could, but in 2003, her demons became front and center. Monica was diagnosed with depression and anorexia. She was now 16 years old, and everyone knows that the teenage years can be brutal, even for those who haven't suffered a tragic loss. So understandably so, Monica was encountering some difficult times. She did spend a week in a hospital for treatment, and when she was released, she went to go stay with an aunt and uncle. Her aunt was dedicated to helping her follow her strict diet plan, and she could be at home more where she could keep an eye on Monica and help her. The morning of October 3rd, 2003, changed everyone's lives in the Carrasco family. When Monica's aunt went to check on her and to tell her that breakfast was ready, she found Monica's bed empty. Searches in and around the property turned up nothing, and when her aunt realized Monica's shoes were still there by the door, she became quite worried. Monica had vanished into the night somehow, and no one had any idea where she could have gone. Where is Monica Cassandra Carrasco? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. Monica's story is a sad one, and while most missing person cases are baffling to some extent, Monica's story easily has 4 or 5 different theories as to what might have happened to this young girl. All teenagers will face some type of teenage angst, but Monica had more than her fair share. Did any of that lead up to her disappearance? Did any of that play a role in her disappearance? Or is that a red herring that has nothing to do with her disappearance at all? Thank you for being here and for listening to Monica's story. The more people we reach with these stories, the more we can do our part to help the missing be found. Sometimes authorities just need that one tip or that little extra push in letting them know that we aren't going to let these missing persons fall to the wayside. They will not fall through the cracks. They will not be forgotten. Before we jump into the story of Monica Carrasco, I do want to give a warning. There is some talk in her story about self-harm, although we won't go into any great details. If that is a triggering topic for you, please listen with care. So without further ado, let's get into the story of Monica Carrasco. Monica Cassandra Carrasco was born to her father, Ramon, and mother, Kathy, on December 13th, 1986. Her family, which also consisted of an older brother, lived in the fairly rural and desolate area of West Texas. As a young child, Monica was very outgoing. She was bright and she was outspoken. She wasn't shy. She was very smart and she learned to read with ease. In fact, she learned everything very easily. At just age 6, she was reading Bible passages out loud to her entire church congregation. Something that had amazed everybody. Monica was an avid churchgoer and steadfast in her Christian beliefs. She enjoyed reading and studying the Bible. Her intelligence carried over to her schooling also, where she excelled. Her favorite subject was science, and as she got older, she decided that she wanted to attend Harvard University with a science major of some sort and go on to work for NASA. Her backup plan was to be a lawyer, so it seemed that Monica wasn't lacking in intelligence or determination and drive. By her preteen years, however, Monica's happy home life took a devastating turn. Her father was diagnosed with bone cancer. It's a devastating blow for an adult to have to deal with regarding a loved one, but Monica was young and she took it hard. In November of 2000, when Monica was just 13 years old, her father had a heart attack at home. Her family called 911 and tried performing CPR. The ambulance took 20 minutes to arrive, and by the time they pulled up to their home, Ramon had passed away. Monica's mother said that the family struggled after his death to cope, but Monica was doing okay. She was still an avid Bible reader, and she put her faith in her religion to help get her through. And the family persevered. Time marched on. Monica continued to excel in school, attend church, and she even enjoyed hobbies such as running and playing her saxophone. In 2003, when Monica was 16 years old, her mother noticed some behavior changes. Monica was also rapidly losing weight, a lot of weight. After some visits to the doctors in nearby Odessa, Texas, Monica was diagnosed with depression and anorexia. She had lost 50 pounds. 50 pounds is a lot off of her small 5'5" frame. Eventually, she would be hospitalized in Odessa for treatment, and she would be released a week later. At the time of her release, it was decided that Monica would go live with her aunt and uncle in Balmoray, Texas, about an hour north of Alpine, where she had been living. Her aunt and uncle had twin boys around Monica's age, and her aunt was home more to be able to keep an eye on Monica and help make sure that she was continuing to eat properly, get to her doctor's appointments, and just take care of herself. Her mother, now a single mother, had to work, and they were worried about long periods of time with no one checking on Monica. It seemed to work out well because this aunt was one of Monica's favorite relatives, and she was pretty happy about the change. Now, at this time, Monica was still enrolled in Alpine High School, but she was not attending school. Shortly after her release from the hospital, and after her move-in with her aunt and uncle, her mom drove up to take her to a psychiatry appointment. That would be her first psychiatry appointment. A week later, for her second appointment, Her mom, Kathy, was unable to make it up to Balmoray due to her work schedule and asked the aunt and uncle if they could take Monica to her psychiatric appointment. It was October 1st, 2003, and the family really wanted to put a priority on getting Monica better. Of course, her aunt and uncle said they would get her there, and it would be her uncle that would take her to this appointment, which took place without incident. The disappearance. On October 1st, 2003, after her appointment with the doctor, Monica and her uncle drove to the store that they owned in Balmoray. Monica's mother, Kathy, had just driven up after she got off of work. She wanted to check on her daughter, she wanted to see her daughter, and she wanted to know how the appointment went. They all talked for a while, and Monica expressed frustration that she wasn't cleared to go back to school yet, as she was anxious to do so. She otherwise seemed happy and healthy. Kathy then hugged her daughter. They both said, "I love yous," and then Kathy would leave for her hour-long drive back home to Alpine. Monica and her aunt and uncle returned back to their home. That evening, after dinner, Monica played video games with her two cousins. She was in good spirits, as everyone recalls, and finally called it quits to head to bed around 11 o'clock p.m. Her cousins stayed up a little bit longer. They remember going to bed more like 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning. And when they did, they noticed that Monica was in bed and fast asleep. The next morning, Monica's aunt woke up to start cooking breakfast. She woke up around 6 a.m. She remembers sometime shortly after that she went to go check on Monica, but found her bed empty. Now, she wasn't alarmed at first. Monica liked to go out for runs. Perhaps she had just woken up early and went out for a morning run. Or maybe she had likely taken her Bible and gone out to the garden to pray, as she had often done in the past as well. By 7:30 a.m., there was still no sign of Monica anywhere. The aunt now woke up her sons, who said the last they knew, Monica was asleep in bed, stating that was around 1 o'clock in the morning. It would be a short while later that Monica's aunt noticed something peculiar. Monica's shoes were sitting by the front door. This means that Monica left the house without any shoes on at all, which would be extremely odd. The landscape around their home in this part of Texas, and specifically their neighborhood, was rocky, it was full of thorns and cacti. No one ever goes out walking without shoes. By now, her aunt had really begun to worry. She checked and found Monica's Bible was missing, but noted that Monica wasn't anywhere outside. It also seemed that all of Monica's clothes were still there, leading the aunt to believe that wherever Monica went, she must have went in her nightgown. Around 9 o'clock a.m., just as her aunt was realizing something seemed very wrong, Kathy called to talk to her daughter. Her aunt told her that they couldn't find Monica anywhere. Immediately, Kathy was worried. She knew her daughter had been struggling. She had recently been released from the hospital, and where would her daughter go without her shoes? Kathy left Alpine right away and started the drive up to Balmoray. When she arrived up there, she found the home where Monica had been staying, crawling with people inside and out, all searching for her daughter. Monica Carrasco had disappeared. The search and investigation. The search for Monica began in the immediate area of the house where she was last known to be. Authorities were almost certain she had just walked off. There was some concern if she didn't have shoes, and because she was possibly mentally frail, maybe even physically so from her hospital stay and losing 50 pounds, but law enforcement didn't suspect anything other than a teenage girl who had walked off. They didn't notice a struggle in the home or anything unusual, so the search was focused mainly outside and in the surrounding neighborhoods. Authorities even flew overhead with heat-sensing equipment looking for any signs of a person. They found nothing. Detectives reached out to Monica's brother, Juan, believing that maybe she had found a way down to Austin to see him. He hadn't seen her, but he did reveal a strange phone call from her the night before she disappeared, the night of October 1st. He said that Monica had called him, asking him if she could come and stay with him for a while. He told her no, she needed to stay near her doctors, and that in the future, if and when she's fully recovered, she can come down and stay with him. She then asked him if he knew that she was Jesus. He was confused, and they had a strange conversation for a few minutes while she told him that she was actually Jesus. She seemed to be in some kind of delusion, but eventually she snapped out of it. Juan wasn't sure what to make of this at the time. Was she maybe joking with him? Was this a reaction to her medication? Had she been eating enough? If not, could she be delirious? This alarmed everyone, and the search for Monica intensified. If she was out there, she could be very likely in need of help. Detectives also learned of an incident that Monica had with a bus driver back in May, 5 months earlier. She had told friends that this bus driver harassed her, but she refused to report it to the authorities. She had, however, refused to ever get on that bus again. Investigators did speak with this bus driver, and he was cleared of any involvement in Monica's disappearance. Interestingly, they also gave some family members a polygraph test, to which Monica's uncle failed. Now, here's the thing with polygraphs. They are pretty useless. Law enforcement has stated that much, and they are not admissible in court for that very reason as well. They are unreliable, and they're known to be wrong. So why do I even mention it? Well, it was given, and authorities at one point seemed to point the finger at the uncle as being a person of interest. Do they have more evidence to support that? We don't know. From what the public knows, no, but it is possible they have something they haven't released. Every time I mention a polygraph in a case, I get emails about them being worthless. If I didn't mention it was given, I'll get emails from people telling me I forgot to mention the polygraph. The uncle is now deceased, so further information directly from him cannot be obtained. In June of 2004, several months after Monica was last seen, a sighting came in that had everyone talking. A pair of truck drivers, a couple, saw a young girl matching the description of Monica. In fact, they were certain it was her. This girl was traveling with an older man in an 18-wheeler truck, and they were stopped at rest area number 7 on Highway 70, just past Indianapolis, Indiana. Was this Monica? Why was this sighting deemed more credible? Hard to say, but the young girl and that truck was never spotted again. Few clues in Monica's disappearance have come up in the years that followed. She has been missing now for just over 22 years. Balmoray, Texas. Balmoray is a small city in Reeves County, West Texas, with a population of 408 as of the 2020 census. The city is mostly known for Balmoray State Park, which is home to San Solomon Springs, a naturally fed spring that produces approximately 26 million gallons of water every day. This spring feeds into a 1.75-acre pool. The pool is 25 feet deep and covers 1.3 acres. It's a very popular recreational area for swimmers. About 2 miles south of Balmoray is the Balmoray Lake. This lake covers over 600 acres and is popular and mostly known for fishing. The surrounding areas are pretty scarce and desolate from the looks of it, with not much around. It's West Texas. If a 16-year-old girl walked off into the night, she could have gone in any direction, and there is so much open land to search through. Could she have walked east towards Austin, maybe thinking in her head that she wanted to get to her brother's? Or could she have gone south to the Mexican border? Some have wondered if maybe Monica met up with someone that night, maybe someone she had been talking to online, but there was no digital evidence that Monica had been talking to anyone online, although many still have not ruled that out. That might explain the sighting of Monica in Indiana. Also, the cross-country highway I-10 passes right near Balmorhea. I-10 is a very highly traveled road spanning from California all the way to Florida. Did Monica catch a ride out of town? Did she meet up with someone intentionally? Or was she maybe planning on hitchhiking? Numerous searches have taken place, but no signs of Monica were ever found in or around Balmoray or anywhere else. Theories and possibilities. So what are the theories in Monica's case? Well, honestly, everything is pretty much on the table. Let's talk about the main theories that are discussed in her story. Theory number one. Mental illness, self-harm. We know that Monica was having some struggles mentally and dealing not only with depression, but anorexia as well. Did she intend to do herself harm? This might explain her leaving in the middle of the night and taking her Bible. But if this is the case, where is she? How has she remained unfound all of these years? Theory number two, mental illness, an accident. Okay, so she could have been having a mental episode and left her home, possibly unsure of her surroundings or what she was even doing. She had allegedly been acting oddly just hours earlier on the phone with her brother. She was also recovering from anorexia. Hypoglycemia, low blood sugar, can cause some delusions and irrational behavior. Could that have been going on with Monica? If she possibly wandered away in a delusional state, could she have had an accident in the harsh desert terrain? She had no shoes on. She was believed to be in her nightgown. But again, if this is the case, where is she? Theory number three, foul play. This could go a couple of ways as well. Did Monica possibly fall victim to foul play? Had she left her house on her own accord and encountered someone nefarious along the way? Or was there someone in her life currently who lured her out of the home or took her out of the home? This could again account for her lack of shoes and getting dressed, but she did supposedly take her Bible with her, which is interesting. Theory number four, an accident. Did Monica just go out for a morning jog and have an accident? Had she borrowed someone else's shoes, perhaps? Is it possible at all that she did have another pair of shoes or access to a pair? But the same question has to be asked here again. If she did have an accident with no other person involved, where is she? Theory number five, Monica is still alive. Did she leave home on her own accord? There is no argument from anyone that Monica was struggling mentally. Perhaps she wanted to just get out and start fresh somewhere. Perhaps she wasn't thinking clearly and did leave without shoes, thinking she would just pick up a ride nearby. Maybe even an interstate traveler on Highway 10. That might explain the trucker's sighting of her. But we have to remember that is really the only talked about sighting, and it's now been 22 years. So what do you think happened to Monica Carrasco? Monica is described as a Hispanic female, standing 5'5" tall and weighing around 100 pounds when she was last seen in October 2003, Monica was just 16 years old. At that time, Monica had dark brown hair with red streaks and dark brown eyes. She has pierced ears, a chickenpox scar on her forehead near her hairline, a small light-colored mole on her left cheek, and dimples on both cheeks. She was believed to have been wearing a long beige nightgown and may have been carrying a black and white Bible. Anyone with any information on Monica Carrasco is asked to contact the Reeves County Sheriff's Office at 432-445-4901. Thank you for listening to Monica's story today. Her family has had to wait far too long for answers on her whereabouts, and it's time to bring Monica home. Her family has set up a website that they still maintain. If you want more information or to see more pictures of Monica, check out the website at missingmonica.com. It's very likely that someone out there knows something. Let's keep sharing her story and helping get the word out. If you've made it this far through the show and appreciate the work we can all do to help the missing and their families, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform. It truly is the biggest way you can help our show, in addition to sharing, of course. A reminder to keep up with the podcast over on social media. All of those links can be found in the show notes. You can also find the link to our Patreon page. If you are interested in ad-free episodes and bonus content, go check out our Patreon page. There is also an option to join as a free member, and everyone is welcome there. If you have a case suggestion for us, one of those lesser-known cases that needs more attention, please send that over via the socials or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. You can also find a suggestion form on our website at wherearethepodcast.com. Our website also contains all of our past episodes and the occasional write-up of missing person cases, ones that we don't cover here on the podcast. Thank you again for tuning in to Monica's story today. Let's hope that this is the year for answers. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.